This episode contains adult content. Listener discretion is advised. The MFG cast presents 13th Street.
That's where we'll meet. You made me complete on the edge of my seat. Sweep me off my feet down on 13th Street. Kept me in this town, knocked me down, turned me upside down, tore me down. Then I came around, down on 13th Street.
That guy.
Shit. And then like he picks up the paper off the desk and, you know, just starts scanning through it to see, you know, what information can be gleaned just from the paper before he, you know, calls down to Brian to see if he can, you know, get a copy of the report.
Yeah, definitely. So there's actually less in the paper than there is that the information that you got from Clary. So like, you know, it was a sudden fire. They, you know, think it's a boiler room accident, but the police are still investigating just to make sure that there was no foul play. The time is right. Everything is right. Like it started around 7 p.m. that night. The one thing that they kind of mention towards the end is that one thing to keep in mind is that this area where the fire happened is Pink's territory. So they say that, you know, that's something to consider, but it doesn't really go into much detail after that. And then it says who's on the investigation, but it doesn't mention Brian in it.
Okay, but it does have the other officer's name.
Yes, correct. Yeah. Okay. So that is
dance for me, GM.
Yes, I know, right? I'm gonna run out of things. We're going to have it be another detective. We'll say Detective Spirino, S-P-I-R-S-P-I-N-O. I-N-O. Yep, correct.
Okay, Detective Spirino. All right, great. He says, this just became a really busy day, I guess.
Janice kind of laughs or whatever, and she says, probably gonna have to put out another pot of coffee, and we're probably gonna have to get some of those sandwiches that you like from the corner.
Shit, I don't even know if I have time. I will take another cup of coffee though.
All right, let's get you full of lead, she says.
And he probably calls Brian first, and then would probably call Miss Jefferson and take the case, but kind of back burner it. I mean, not really, but like, you know, he would swing by to talk to her, find out what the dishes look like that kind of stuff. So mm-hmm. He would know what to look for.
Yeah.
And when he was out doing other stuff, be like, oh, this pawn shop is three blocks from the apartment. I'll stop in here on my way to somewhere else. Right. Like kind of thing. Like he's not going to catch the kids who did it.
Yeah.
Right. But like, he might be able to get the stuff back.
Yeah, for sure. So are we role playing the Brian thing or
we can, yeah, we're yeah. I mean, it's up to you. I mean,
okay.
We'll role play every minute of the day. What is today anyway?
All right. We'll say today is, let's see, what would today be? Let's today be a Tuesday. I don't think we've ever picked a Tuesday, have we? I don't know.
Is it September or October?
We'll say September.
Okay. I chose wrong. I pulled up
October. Oh, you know what? No, let's do October. October is a better fall month than September. So
that's why I went there.
Yeah, yeah. And I don't know if we said this, but it was did we decide it was the fall of the same year?
As the overall meta narrative, that's up to you. I assume it's,
yeah, I think it was the same fall of that year, because the last campaign was New Year's ish January.
Yeah, and it was New Year's. It was, fuck, I have to pull up the journal. It was New Year's 46, right? So we were 46. Coming into 46.
Yep.
Okay, so it's October of 1946, and what day is, so Tuesday would be the 1st, the 8th, the 15th, 22nd, or 29th?
Oh boy, now we're getting really, we're getting,
I have to really know
detail. We'll say the 8th. We'll say the 8th.
Okay, October 8th, 1946. Love it. All the notes. Great. Because then it puts us in relation to holidays, the Halloween, and
yeah, for sure,
like temperature, like all that kind of stuff.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah,
like
yeah.
If it was the 29th, it's probably colder than the 8th. Like,
yeah, you know. Yeah, for sure. It's probably, yeah. And like Jenna said, it's a nice, or no, not Jenna said, yeah, Jenna said it's a nice, it's beautiful, a nice fall day. Yeah, 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 for sure. So beginning of the month would be better than the end.
Okay. Yeah. So he, you know, grabs a cup of coffee, and I don't even think he sits in his chair. I think he's like sits on the corner of the desk and, you know, dials up the, I assume Brian's probably got his own number now if he's a detective, right? He's probably got a desk now.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
So yeah, he calls Brian's number to his desk and, see if he's in.
For sure. Yeah. So a few more rings than you're used to. And just before you think you're like, okay, well, maybe he's not there and you're going to hang up, you hear the phone pick up quickly and you hear, O'Shea.
Hey, Brian, it's George. How's it going?
Uh-oh. I don't like the sound of that.
Come on. You know me better than that. I just need a little bit of information.
Oh boy. You know, I'm a detective now, right? I'm a little bit busier than I used to be.
You always make time for me, right?
I suppose you did help me become, well, I mean, I did a lot of the work, but you helped me a little bit. Yeah. What can I do for you?
Yeah, I'm going to be looking into the fire over there on, you know, X Street apartment, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think Detective Spirino is looking into that one. Had someone come down to the office, wanted me to look into it. I was wondering if I could pull that report.
I think we could probably do that. Because it's Spirino's case, I kind of have to run it by him, but he's one of the good ones that we... that we got. He's actually a transfer, so yeah. I probably could talk him into it, I think.
Great, that'd be perfect. Just to get the background, obviously I'm gonna go down there and knock on some doors and see what's going on. But yeah, what have you been up to? How you doing?
You know, it's been actually really busy.
Well, that's good. Well, I don't know if that's really good, right? I mean, it means people are doing some bad stuff, I guess.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's not all terrible stuff, but you know, with the old Pinks and the Slicks, it's been tough. Let's just say the wife's been roaring a lot more these days.
Yeah. You guys doing okay? I saw about all that in the paper. Jeez, they're breaking into houses. And I mean, they're breaking into houses before, but like, you know, gunning people down and shit now, that's a little excessive.
Yeah, it's a little personal now. They're going after us, and it's, you know, this is kind of a weird thing to say, but with like some of the old crew, you know, I could maybe understand why some of the Pinks and Slip and Slicks would, you know, kind of go after him because they, you know, they weren't all nice, they were all good guys, you know. But I don't know. Right now, I feel like we got a good crew, and
it's probably what they don't like.
Yeah, yeah, maybe a little too good at their jobs, I guess. But yeah, I don't know. Just it's a damn shame, man. We've actually lost a couple of good men to this whole thing, and I don't know. I'm hoping we can curtail it soon.
Yeah, well, you stay safe out there. You give that wife of yours a hug for me, huh?
Well, I'll give her one for myself. I don't know if I want to give her one for you, but yeah, for sure, definitely, yeah. But like I said, I'll talk to Spirino. I'll see if maybe he can give the go ahead. I'm sure it won't be a bad thing. I'll bring him some coffee and donuts and kind of schmooze him over a little bit. Yeah, I think we should be all right.
Hey, maybe I should bring him.
No, I don't know about that. Sometimes you're bad luck around here. but yeah, I actually he's in today. He's in at noon, so I will talk to him, and then yeah, maybe I'll try to get to you over. I'll try to get a hold of you by end of day.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah, I gotta head out of here in a little bit, and then yeah, I'll swing by on my way back.
All right. All right, well, I got to get going. There's a lot on my plate.
All right. Thanks, Brian. I appreciate it.
No problem. Take it easy.
You stay safe.
Yep, you too. All right.
I don't know if we want to role play the call with the old lady, or if you want to just assume that I, you know, take that case or whatever. It's, you know, it's up to you, right?
I mean, yeah. Yeah, let's gloss over that one. I don't think it's as big of a thing that we need to role play it or whatever, but you know, let's just say that, you know,
it's
you
not
talk
the story.
yeah for sure. So let's say, you know, you talk to her and you know she gives you a lot of some details. She says during the day she's a retired baker, and she likes to, you know, do a lot of baking during her day, and she, let's just say, like, she was baking some cookies for a neighbor, walked down to the end of the hall to give them to him, didn't realize that she left her door open. And when she came back, her good china was gone. And it wasn't like in anything, like in a like buffet or anything like that. It was actually displayed in some cabinets. And she noticed that the cabinets were open, the china was gone, and yeah, she didn't see anything. Yeah, I think that's it for now.
Okay. I mean, he asks for a description and then says that he'll, you know, he'll stop by as soon as he can. Mm-hmm. You know, if she's got like family dinner pictures and there's like a picture of the plate, not that she would have pictures of the plate necessarily, right? Yeah. Unless it's on her, you know, like an insurance thing, right? Like if she took pictures because it's like an heirloom sort of thing.
Yeah.
Right. If it came from such and such a place, or it's, you know, some kind of fine china, right? Like,
yeah,
then maybe she's got like a picture. But yeah, he would say that he would stop by. He would keep an eye out for things. It's probably some kid, you know, to try to set her mind at ease, like, hey, make sure when you're going out, New York's a tough place, make sure you lock your door, take your key, even down the hallway. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, just small talk, you know, kind of like be like, you know, you got to be careful, like that kind of stuff.
Yeah, for sure. And she, yeah, she's definitely like, she's almost like a dog that got caught. You know, she's just kind of like, oh yeah, I know. I should have locked my door and that kind of thing. And she's like, this stuff never happens to me. And like, you come to find out, like, she doesn't even lock her door at night. And you're like, definitely lock your door at night, you know? You know, just like my grandma and grandpa used to do all the time. I'm like, why did you ever lock your doors? God. And she describes the piece of china as like, it's white with like a gold rim around it. And then it's got like a pink floral pattern around the edge of the plate itself. And she tells you like it's been in her family for years. And she's like, you know, it may not be worth anything to anyone but me, but to me, it's priceless kind of thing. And she's, she kind of breaks down a little bit and hopes you can find it, because it's like one of the last living heirlooms she has of like her mother's and her grandmother's that have been passed down. So she's kind of distraught about it.
Yeah. You know, he tells her no worries, like, you know, I'll do the best I can. You know, I'll start searching around today, you know, let you know if I find anything, blah, blah, blah.
For sure. Yeah. So you do that, and that takes part of the day. You get back to the office and you have like a few more phone calls and stuff like that. You have like, you know, like a lawyer that calls you and says, you know, you helped apprehend this person and you need to be in court, you know, like 4 days from now or something like that, to give your disposition on what happened when you accosted them and brought them to the police, just so they're going through all the right channels to arraign this person that got caught for, let's just say he stole his girlfriend's car or something like that, and you helped apprehend him and turn him over to the police.
Right.
So they're just trying to make sure they go through all the right channels so that they're doing the right thing to get him arrested or get him put in jail or whatever.
Yep.
And yeah. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, maybe he calls before I leave then, and then he was going to call Evie and then head over.
Okay.
So yeah. Like maybe he brings lunch over then.
Okay. Yeah. Sounds good. So let's just say that there is this like hot dog vendor that, like, even though it wasn't like the best food in the world, for some reason, Evie just loved it. So like, you know, every once in a while you'd grab it, you know, and you'd be, you know, you'd always tell her like, you know, for someone who sings, you know, eating this kind of junk's probably not the best thing for you. And she'd be like telling you, like, don't tell me what to do. You know, I'm like, my voice will be just fine regardless of what I eat, kind of thing, you know?
Right.
And you knock on the door, and she is in a little bit better spirits, but also still very pensive about what's going to happen. And she says, oh, George, yeah, come on in.
And he like holds up like a sack of dogs and like, you know, two cups of coffee or whatever.
Yeah.
And it's 1946. Like the only thing you could drink is coffee or Coke, right? Like there isn't anything else in the world.
Yeah. Oh, and water if you want to, but you know, water's water. Yeah. And she kind of gives a little bit of a squeal and she's like, oh, you know me, you know, that kind of thing. You eat the hot dogs, have the coffee, you kind of exchange pleasantries and stuff like that. And, you know, how is everything going? You know, you can decide what you want to tell her. I don't want to, you know, say what you say, but.
I think he's misconstrued the word, but he's kind of stiff, like a little reserved maybe. Right. Cause it's probably been quite a while since he's been to her place. You know, probably formerly their place. Like she probably just kept the apartment.
Yeah.
So yeah, like it's, you know, it's kind of weird for him because like he sees her at work and, you know, they exchange barbs or whatever. And, you know, it's just how they do. But like now he's back here and it's kind of weird. And yeah, he, you know.
Yeah, for sure. And you realize, like, we'll say that it is your old place and you do not recognize it at all. So, like, you know, some of the things that you had put up, whether if it's art pieces or, you know, maybe the furniture was in a certain way, but like, literally, there's nothing here besides like original countertops and stuff like that that you recognize. And it almost kind of fills you with the sadness. Like, it's like when, you know, someone passes and the other person gets rid of everything because they don't want to, they can't deal with the hurt of any single thing being there. Mm-hmm. And she just wipes it clean.
Yeah. She nuked the whole thing. I assume she does not have any pictures of her and Matt, and there's no pictures of us, right? Like that would be, Like there's yeah, I would assume there's neither.
She definitely has no pictures of you two, but yeah, she definitely doesn't have him either.
Okay.
Yeah.
I assume not, but right. Yeah, he does kind of like take the room in.
Yeah. Or if there was something there, she definitely got rid of it. You know, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
But there's nothing in your detective work that knows that, like, oh, this used to be this, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah. No. Yeah. That's not what I meant. I just you know, he sort of scans the room because it's what he would do. Right. Yeah. Not only because it's his old place, but like it's just sort of second nature. Like, you know, when you talk to people, like even when he's socially talking to people, sometimes it almost becomes like a line of questioning, right? Because his mind just works that way.
Yes. Yep. Yeah. Yeah. And every once in a while, someone will have to tell you that. They'll be like, okay, George, you're not on the case. Can we just have a normal conversation here? You know, that kind of thing. But
look, buddy, we're just having beers. Why don't you just like chill out a little
bit? Yeah, exactly. You give me the fourth degree here. What are you doing? The only thing that remotely resembles a person is this, not poster, but almost like a work. I'm trying to think of what they had back in the day. So I'm going to say it's more of like an art piece that looks like her in her normal dress when she sings. And then it's got some stars and like some good colors. And then it has like Evie, what's her last name? Jesus. I can never remember things.
Evelyn Hayes.
Okay. Thank you. And it actually says Evelyn Hayes. It says the date, the time, and then this is the Glow Lounge. So it looks like what a poster would be, except for its actual like painting, and it's beautiful. But like other than that, like you know for a fact that she loves her mom. No pictures of her mom. No pictures of enough. No sense of anyone else but her.
That checks out. Me. He thinks in the back of his mind. he does nod at the picture and he says that's a real good likeness,
and she kind of like she turns and she smiles to herself and she says that was my first big night. Everything changed after that. I just every time I look at it, it makes me smile.
So you got the letter you want me to take a look at?
And she, as quickly as she is to like kind of think back to the good old days and like have, you know, love in her heart and excitement in her face, she like it turns to dread, you know, and she kind of, you realize that she actually has it in her hand. And she says, kind of takes a big sigh. She says, I think I'm okay reading it. I just need you here for support.
He looks dubiously around and he's like, go ahead, fire away.
So let's just say like there's a underneath the mural, there's like a fireplace and it's going a little bit because Evie's always been cold. She's always kind of a...
Well, you're telling me.
Uh-oh. Instead of actually reading out loud, she actually opens it up and her hands are shaking and she kind of reads to herself.
And he's just watching, like he's watching her facial expression, her body language. Like he's, you know, obviously doesn't know what the letter says, but it's just like trying to intuit from her body language
for
but,
sure, you know. So I'm gonna have you roll an investigation. I'm maybe not gonna get insight sure
into her, right? Because it's specifically like a for person sure to person,
so sort of. it's gonna be a combination of things that I'm not gonna tell you right now, but it's gonna be one of those gratiated things where you're gonna just roll whatever the number is that you get. I'm gonna give you that many pieces of information.
Okay, fair enough. That is an 8, sir.
Holy shit. Okay, so I changed my mind.
Yeah, feel free to bump that down to whatever's pertinent.
No, that's okay. You know what? I'm good at making shit up on the fly. Let's do this. All right, so one of the things that you realize as she's reading, it's almost like as she's reading it, it's like she wants something happy, or she wants something to make her feel good. And as she's reading it, she gets a pained look on her face. And then, you know, it flashes to her being mad. And then like a tear will kind of come down and she'll kind of wipe it away. Another thing that happens is, you know, you kind of hear under her breath, she's like, "You son of a bitch," you know, that kind of thing.
Son of a bitch.
Yeah. Yeah. And she just, it's like she wants to punch something, but she's like, there's nothing to punch except for you, but she won't do that. as she gets, yeah, I'm not going to be able to make up all eight things, but we'll be able to fill in some good stuff. At some point, it looks like she's actually done with reading it, and she angrily like tosses it into the fire. She doesn't crumble it up. She doesn't tear it into pieces. She throws it into the fire. And as the fire is starting to burn up the piece of the note or whatever, the piece of paper, you catch a few things. You catch, "I did it for us." You catch a group of words that says, "The love of my life." You catch a part that says, "I screwed up." And then the last part you catch is towards the bottom, and it says, "I will never stop loving you." Matthew, and then it burns away.
I got some eagle eyes.
You do. You do.
He wrote with a big fucking crayon because he was a dumb bastard.
yeah, exactly. One of those huge Sharpies. So then, you know, she kind of throws herself to one of her chairs and just starts to cry.
He sits there awkwardly for a moment because he wasn't sure where, like, he just figured, like, "I'll come over, I'll read the letter, tell her, like, it's best, like, just forget it, you know, don't worry about it, and then just either like take it or," right, because he wouldn't throw it in the trash because then she would probably just read it anyway, so either exactly. Like take it or maybe throw it in the fire or whatever.
Yeah.
So this isn't exactly what he expected, and like, she is not how he always sees her, and maybe that's just a front, you know, now like when she's in public, right, like this is just like her public facing persona, mm-hmm. sort of thing. But you know, after a few seconds that feel like an eternity, he gets up and, you know, I probably sits down next to her and, like, you know, just puts an arm on her shoulder and says, "You know, it's okay, kid. He was you know, it's not worth it to, you know, to be worried about that guy. He changed quite a lot from when I knew him. You know, he wasn't the one, you know, just like whatever, just trying to, you know, make small talk to like be comforting and, you know, kind of like, he wasn't worth it. You're better than that." And, you know,
yeah,
blah, 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 whatever.
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, she's just kind of softly crying or whatever. And, she kind of turns to you or whatever and has wet eyes and kind of grabs your arm, not forcefully, but a little tighter than you're used to. And she says, she looks into your eyes and she says, "George Armstrong, you are a good man." She says, "I don't know why I've treated you so badly."
I think he, like, you know, reaches out like with the thumb, you know, and like brushes the tear, you know, like off her cheek, mm-hmm. and he says, "You know, kid, we were always like oil and water. Things never just seem to gel for us, you know." Really, like, he's trying to be, he's like, "Oh boy, this is like a whole fucking thing now."
And she, you know, she cries another tear and she kind of looks at you and she goes, "But we were good once." Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, in the beginning, it was good. We were good. Life gets complicated, right? And he's probably still like unconsciously, like right, he's like has his hand on her cheek. You know what I mean? Like cupping the side of her face.
Yeah. And she says, "Boy, I put myself in a conundrum here. Put you in a conundrum, and then I put myself in a conundrum as Evie's character. What do I do with her?
Let's go."
Yeah. Let's just say she, you know, starts to say something, and then she makes a move.
Yeah, I feel like, you know, it's the romantic movie, right? Like it's the, you know, maybe not The Notebook, because it like ends horribly, I guess. But, you know, like I'm holding her face and she just like reaches behind, you know, like the back of my head and like starts to pull me in. Yeah, and I think he probably kisses her. Like, I think it, you know, it's, you know, it's not like a peck on the cheek, right? Like they, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
Lean
yeah,
in and sure. It's a whole thing.
Yeah, for sure. You know, and like, you know,
come here, get real close to the camera.
So yeah, so it's just, yeah, it's like, you know, it's, let's just say it's like an old romantic movie, you know, like a black and white where, you know, it's,
then she slaps me.
Yeah, exactly. She storms off. But no, it's, you know, it's just a, you know, subtle, sweet, naive kiss, you know, and it's one of those things where the music kind of swells and it's short and it's sweet and there's nothing to be added to it. You know, it's not, it's one of those things where it's just like, this is what it's come to, and where it goes from here, who knows?
This podcast is a proud member of the Legends of Tabletop Broadcast Network. For more gaming-related content, please visit www.legendsoftabletop.com.